Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't really know that much about Bartimaeus. We know that his father's name was Timaeus because that's what Bartimaeus means. Bar means son of. Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. We might surmise that he lives in Jericho. Quite frankly, the blind really don't get around all that fast, and so they don't really go all that far. We might assume that he's near the city gates, heading out on sort of the, the west side of Jericho, heading towards Jerusalem as Jesus is leaving the city. Traditional place of begging, really, between Jerusalem and Jericho. That's the place where most of the traffic comes through, outside the city gates. It's almost like begging at the corner of Ladson and Dorchester. You get the most traffic. It's the best corner, right? We know a little of him, but he reveals a great deal to us. He helps us to see clearly. Possibly because he was blind that he becomes such a good listener. It's been said that when people are deprived of one of their senses, often they gain strength in the other ones. And no doubt, Bartimaeus is a pretty good listener. He has a pretty good sense of hearing. I can only imagine what was said by the roadside day after day as news of Jesus spreads and all the different stories that he may have heard as people are coming or as they are going. Bartimaeus has knowledge of Jesus, and he acts on that knowledge. He calls out, "Son of David." Now, "Son of David," by the way, is, and this is not really important germane to the sermon at all, I just thought it was interesting to tell you, the Son of David is not one of those terms that's used in the Gospel of Mark all that often. The problem with it is Son of David may elicit the wrong focus when applied to the one who is to come, the eschatological Son of Man. Human descent is not the key factor in the bringing of the eschatological kingdom, at least not for Mark. Now, Matthew makes great use of the term, but Matthew's also writing to Jews, and he has a special heart for those messianic prophecies. So pulling out the idea that Jesus is the Son of David is very important to Matthew, whereas Luke seems to be extraordinarily careful with the term. As you know, I believe that Luke and Acts were both being written to be introduced as evidence at Paul's trial. Be very careful with terms like son of ex-king when you're introducing evidence. For Mark talks about the Son of David a lot like Paul talks about the Son of David. Like Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1. The Son of God is described as being the seed of David according to the flesh. Romans chapter 1 verse 3. Jesus is marked out as the Son of God. But he's marked out mostly by the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit works through Jesus, you see that he is the Son of David by what he does. By a life shared together, welcoming the stranger, working, praying, resting in a cycle throughout his life, the resurrection of the dead, Jesus being the firstborn, the down payment of our resurrection. Paul goes on from Romans chapter 1 and never really references Jesus as the Son of David again. His focus for Mark and Paul, more importantly, because the king who is coming by the promise of the prophets is important, primarily because he is the divine agent of God's hand, not just simply an heir of some long gone kingdom. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, Yahweh is the one who does away with the tools of war. Zechariah 9:9, the coming king is described as having being saved, is a passive participle. Again, an allusion to the redemption and the resurrection of Jesus. Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, Yahweh is the primary, the first subjugation of the nations, but the anointed one is the one who carries out that subjugation. The Son of David, have mercy on me, as we read in our introit today, is a basic plea of an Old Testament people. It's an old-fashioned term, so to speak. And it is nowadays old-fashioned to call upon the name of the Lord. as the agent of our helper. Psalm 86, God has pity and therefore has mercy. Eleison. Lord, have mercy, eleison, upon me. In Hebrew, it's rendered hesed, a steadfast love. God, have mercy upon me. Our blind man asks for mercy, and then he leaves it open-handed. It is an open-ended question. O Son of David, have mercy upon me. He doesn't even ask for a sight until Jesus sort of backs him into a corner about it in the first place. He is simply ready to receive, and he's ready to receive that which the Lord God is going to offer. Whatever you think, Lord, would be good for me, a blind beggar, I will take that. Whatever that is, whatever you see fit to give me in your mercy. Bartimaeus, in his person, in his request, is the perfect expression of our status and our standing before God. How often have we said in our prayers, I don't really know what to ask for. I ask that you would give me what's good for me. That's all I ask. He knew that Jesus is from the line of David. He knew that the promise of the Son of David would ascend into the throne and would reign forever. He knew this Davidic king would usher in an era of mercy and grace that would defeat evil and establish the kingdom of God forever. Bartimaeus now sees an opportunity as God has come in the flesh. He is right there in front of him, and he grabs a hold of this opportunity. He leaps into action and begins shouting all the more at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Many of them attempt to get him to shut up. But Bartimaeus cries even all the louder. He is determined. This is one who has come who can help me. This is my shot. Who knows if Jesus will ever be this way again? And he wasn't. The words that the risen Lord speaks to blind Bartimaeus are reticent of what he speaks to Thomas later after his resurrection. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believe. When our Lord hears the cries of Bartimaeus, he does something that the crowd does not understand and they do not expect. He stops. He is walking out of Jericho, going to Jerusalem. As we know from history, Jesus is going to Jerusalem the last time. He is marching off unto his death. He is beginning the Psalms of Ascent as he rises up unto Jerusalem in order to be murdered and killed for the nation, for the sins of the world. And on that journey, upon hearing a plea from a man of God for mercy, Jesus stops. I wonder if anybody bumped into him. Following so close. Sorry. He says, bring him here. The Son of David, wrapped up in royalty, the Son of God walking unto his death. Here's the call of a blind beggar for mercy, and he commands him, come here. The crowd, who seems to have recognized that they've made a mistake in trying to get Bartimaeus to be quiet, now have flipped their script and say, oh, fortunate man, the Lord has smiled upon you. Get up now. He is calling for you. What a bunch of sycophants, right? First they're against him, and now they're for him. Sounds like a politician somehow, right? Moving from one opinion to the other based upon the prevailing wind, I pray, what are we offended by today? Jesus asked the question, what do you want from me? He's already been granted mercy. He's already been granted a hearing. What do you want? Jesus can do anything for him. Bartimaeus has to pick. I mean, we don't think about this anymore, but Bartimaeus is a blind beggar. This is what he does for a living. This is his job. This is his vocation. And he's really good at it. I mean, the people of the New Testament are much like that we are of today. The Old Testament Jews were required to give alms. The law tells us as well that we are to give to charity. We are to give to the poor and the needy, and the downtrodden. But we want our charity to be well received and we want it to be well used. A blind beggar, that's like the gold standard of the depressed. I mean, a blind beggar beats a meth head any day, right? This is going to ruin his career. He could have asked for something else. He could have asked for healing. He could have asked for forgiveness. He could ask for money, strength, power, wisdom. The question is asked so that the blind man has an opportunity to answer for all of the world to see for generations to come. Jesus gives him this opportunity to confess his faith, a faith shared by Christians of all time past and present. And he says, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus answered. Our dear Lord gives him an answer both in word and in declaration, which tells the formerly stern crowd not only that Jesus has time for blind Bartimaeus, but that Jesus also knew the heart and his deepest of yearning. Go, your faith has made you well. And it's no surprise to us that the words come from the mouth of the Lord God made flesh actually bring about that which they communicate. This is the same voice that said, let there be light, and there was light. Now the Lord God has said, go your way, your faith has made you well, and it has happened as the Lord God has decided. Now this man can see the created light given to him, blessed to him by the Lord God Almighty. It's more than a coincidence that this miracle happens as Jesus is heading from Jericho up to Jerusalem for the very last time for his crucifixion and resurrection. A reading of the events are recorded in this journey continue to give no small indication that it was hard for the people to see and to understand and reason at all. It was hard for them to see what was going on and why. Because all of us are children of Adam and Eve. We have inherited from our fathers and our mothers this human sin, and we are all corrupted by that sin, and we desperately need not just sight, but also insight. What is it that you want? What is it that you truly need? When asking and being granted mercy by the Lord God Almighty, what is that great mercy that you would ask for? The story of Bartimaeus stands forever as a calling to a greater gift than just mere eyesight, but insight. O son of David, have mercy upon us. O son of David, have mercy upon us as we cry out in our liturgy every single week. And it's not just Bartimaeus who needs it. It's we, you and I. Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord God answers, what would you like of me? What would you have of me? What do you need of me? We have a high priest that hears our prayer. A high priest guaranteed by the Lord God Almighty that if we call out, he will hear us. So what do we ask? So we think about this wonderful question. There's a lot of things may bubble up in our mind framed around this. I already see, right? So what would be my next need? And that depends. There's sight and then there's insight. There's the rite of repentance. Lord God, defend me from evil. Protect me from heresy. Allow me to be better tomorrow, to be better tomorrow, to be more useful tomorrow. Let us watch. Let us think and let us listen. All that Jesus does in order to seek and to save the lost, he does for us. Lost but found. Found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus found safe and secure in the ark of the church for now and forevermore. Lord God, defend my faith. Let's see what we can see. And hear what we can hear. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in this coming week. Amen.